This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.
What's goody, Hot Breathiverse? Welcome back to Hot Breath, the show where you learn comedy from the pros. Today's episode is with the winner of our June $100 joke contest, Vancouver comic Jordan Wilson. Every month, graduates of our comedy writing masterclass compete in this contest to win $100 and an interview on Hot Breath Podcast. So if you're looking to level up your comedy writing, go into the description of this episode, join our writing masterclass, and maybe you will hear yourself on this podcast next month.
Hot Breath.
But now there's nothing left to do except inhale a hot breath with Jordan Wilson.
I don't get sick very often, but people keep asking me how the chemo's going. Yeah? And then I tell them I don't have cancer, and they're like, that's a spirit. That's the positivity that's going to get you through this. Like, have you ever had an old lady offer you her seat on the bus? I've had three. And one of them was like, no, you take it. You're much closer to death than I am. I'm like, just for that, yeah, I am going to take it. Like, I feel fine, but apparently people don't think I look fine. Like, I was having dinner at a steakhouse with a buddy of mine. He orders the porterhouse, and then the waiter turns to me, and for you, ginger ale and crackers? Like, do you think you could keep that down? You know, if you're up for it, maybe work up to a soup? You know, and then after the meal, he comes back, and he's all impressed with my appetite. Like, oh, you ate the whole thing. You know? Yeah. Like, my friends are always trying to make plans for when I get my strength back. Like, I mean, I don't even need Uber because ambulances just see me walking down the street and they just pull over for me.
Welcome, your June champion, Vancouver's own Jordan Wilson, everyone. Woo, woo, woo! Let's go! What's up, Jordan?
What's up? Thank you for having me.
Thanks for waking up to do this.
Yeah, it's 7 a.m. here on the West Coast, and Keller Reeves wanted me to shout him out for waking up at 7 a.m. to watch this, so shout out Keller Reeves. Shout out Keller Reeves for hosting his mic for me to film my set at, so yeah, couldn't have happened without you, bud.
Great job, and Jordan's one of these cats who's, you've been competing in these contests since the early days, and my wife and I watch all the submissions, and it was a thrill when you stopped using a hammer as a microphone. I think we really stopped seeing you as a serial killer and more as a comedy killer when you used to perform with a microphone that was a hammer.
I still do. That's what I rehearse with, you know, like when I rehearse my kitchen. 1 second.
That is hilarious. Just imagine
into my hammer, and there we go.
Doesn't look like a serial killer at all with that. That's hilarious. I love it. What so tell me first off, congratulations, Jordan. Congratulations, man. It sounds like you're out there grinding it. Even when you posted your set, Keller chimed in and said like how much you've been killing it in your scene. What's the grind like for you out there, fam? What you up to over there?
I'm just doing whatever I can when I can, you know, just getting up whenever they let me. I host a weekly open mic every Monday.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and then I also do a monthly show, second Wednesday of the month, a monthly like booked show. Sort of, we do it pro-am style and that sort of thing. So yeah, and then yeah, just get up on any, you know, open mics or book shows whenever I can. So yeah, just we're all just doing the best we can.
So you're hosting a weekly open mic and a monthly showcase?
Yes. Yeah.
Let's go. Hot breath. Ouchia. Let's go. Watch out, Vancouver. Yo, that's awesome, man. Congrats to you, Jordan. That's a lot of work, man. I salute to you. Diving headfirst in this comedy game.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, no, yeah. We'll just say yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for anyone that runs a show, they understand Jordan's reaction right there of just, yeah, yeah. Running your own show is, I think every comic should do it, but it is a lot of work. And then you get into it and you're like, what have I done sometimes, you know? But yeah. It helps you develop that much faster. So, and it's showing in the set you did today. So salute to you for winning. Oh, and Mookie called you Thor, God of Comedy. For using the hammer, so I like that.
I was gonna say, because the first thing I thought it was hair, and I'm like, well, no, I'm like the opposite of Thor. You know, like Thor has flow, and I am anti-flow.
So what happened with this set? I mean, it was a great set. So, but the theme is health. So then, how did you start to develop this set? Kind of, the theme is health. Okay, where do you start, and how did you develop the set?
It was a little serendipitous because the day that the theme came out, the right 10 word of the day was sick. Mm-hmm. And so that first joke, the first part of the first joke was actually my right 10 joke that day. I wrote, you know, I don't get sick very often, but people keep asking me how the chemo's going. Like just that first part. And then I think later on in the day, you know, when I was at work, I came up with the other tags to it, wrote it down or whatever. And it was just one of those, it's one of those magical jokes that work the first time, every time. You know, every time I've done that joke, like that set, it was the only time that I got an applause break for it, but it always got like a good pop. And so so right away I knew that I had my first joke. I'm like, okay, I'm going to lead off with that. And then, you know, I did like anything else. I tried to explore the other themes. I did explore sort of a working out theme like Aaron did, like, you know, how I don't work out anymore. I also explored, you know, the reason why I look like this is because I don't get sleep. So I explored the lack of sleep thing. Uh-huh. And I never quite found anything among those that I, you know, that I could really run with. Like I could still work. I'll still work on some of those, but like I just couldn't quite get them together ready. So I finally kind of said, because I kept doing this joke and it kept working. And I'm like, okay, like I remember, you know, on YouTube, there's that Talking Funny with CK, Ricky Gervais, Jerry Seinfeld, and Chris Rock. Mm-hmm. And at one point Louis, he says like, you know, when a bit is working, stay in the bit. And so I thought, okay, how can I do that? How can I just kind of, how can I hit this same note over and over and over again? Like sort of, you know, I basically, I'm not sick, but people think I'm sick. And, so what I ended up doing was just, the old Jerry Corley top 10 list. I think it was like top 10 signs that I look sickly, and that's how I came up with all the other stuff, like the, you know, actually I might even have it sitting right here somewhere. What was it? Top 10 signs I look sickly. People keep asking me how the chemo's going. Old ladies offer me their seat on the bus. Ambulances pull over for me. Waiters ask me, are you keeping everything down okay, as opposed to, you know, like, oh, is everything tasting good or whatever. Uh-huh. Waitress asks, and for you, ginger ale and crackers. I don't get bathrobes as gifts. I get hospital gowns. people don't ask me if I've got the time. They ask me how much time I've got. That one sounded very Rodney Dangerfield. Like, oh, you know, I get no respect. No respect.
Yeah.
They ask me if I've got the time. They ask me how much time I've got. Oh. Last two, we're down to three. Oh, sorry. Last three. My friends have pictures of them taking care of me for their Tinder profiles. My friends suggest all sorts of activities for when I get my strength back. And then I get an entire bus rows to myself. So yeah, I just sort of took my favorites and, you know, kind of, tweaked them into jokes, and then those worked. You know, the, like, I think when I filmed that set, I think it was like the second time I had tried it. And then I also tried it in the Riff Room and Jones Room, and they seemed to like him. So that's what I ended up going with in the end.
Yeah, and Sandy said the 2 weeks instead of 1 week to get the set ready. She said she got to perform it on stage a few times to like kind of get it ready to record. So it sounds like the 2 weeks maybe helped kind of get more refinement out of it.
Definitely helped me. Because, like I'm one of those people too where I feel like my process is a little bit longer. Like, I mean, sometimes I'll just sort of, I'll come up with a premise and I won't know my exact angle or whatever it is yet. And sometimes I just kind of, you know, leave it for a bit, and then a day or two later it'll come to me, or sometimes a week later, or sometimes who knows. So I like the 2 weeks because it just gave me the chance to kind of I guess maybe do things my way a bit more, rather than okay, I've got to come up with something right now, you know.
Right. Good. Okay, yeah, good. I mean, that was the goal, hopefully to give people more time to like develop it into material that will translate to like beyond this month, but they're writing material that you'll still be doing and developing in, you know, like 4 months, 6 months, you know. So
I'll say that too, because that's what this contest has definitely given me, is like every month, you know, some months are better than others, some months, you know, you come up with better stuff than others, but I think just about every month there's been at least something that I've taken from this contest that I do on stage, and that is part of my, you know, material now. Like sometimes it's not always the whole 90 seconds. Sometimes it might be just one joke, but other times, it's like close to, or the entire thing. I get something out of this contest every month for sure.
Yeah. And you do it consistently as well, which it just pays off. Cause sometimes it is magical. A joke happens. Like you said, your opening joke, you're like, oh wow, I wrote it. It works. First time, like boom. And then other times it's like, you know, it could take months to figure out the funny angle on something, but that's joke writing, you know, just the more you do it, the better you'll get at it. But it does require that repetition.
For sure.
So what, as we start to land this plane here, is there any, you've been out of here on this comedy grind a little bit. How long have you been doing it now?
I'm right at 2 years of performing. Like I started in October of 2019, but I mean, during the pandemic, there was 9 months in there that everything was shut down. Like, cause I was about 5 months in when the pandemic hit. And then here in Vancouver, we were off for 3 months, and then things opened up again for about six, and then they closed down again for another six. And then we've been back since. So like when I was 5 months in and then you're off for 3 months, I can't really say I've been doing it 8 months, right? Like,
So
I always have trouble answering that question, because it's like, well, okay. And then do all the math here. But yeah, I when people ask me now, I say I've been doing it 2 years, because that's how long I've really been performing.
You know, a question I've been getting asked a lot lately is about like how to even get on stage for the first time and things like that. So like for you, you're somewhat newer, but you're like integrated into your scene now. So like, what would be your advice for someone thinking about getting on stage, or too scared to, or just not knowing where to start? Like what would you tell them?
At the end of the day, just do it, you know, just, you know, and you know, people have different ways. I mean, you know, you see some people who, you know, bring a group of friends out to their first mic, and you know, that's fine. And, you know, have your support system there or whatever. For me, it kind of eased into it a little bit with me, because like I had been writing before I did stand up, like scripts, you know, movies, pilots, that sort of stuff. And I just got really intrigued with the stand up process. I started going to local shows and that sort of thing. I eventually found like a local class. Quick plug, laughterzone101.com. Jan Bannister is the instructor there. And I decided, okay, I'm going to take the class, you know, just to sort of learn about the process, about how comedians develop a bit and that sort of stuff. And then, you know, at the end of the 6 weeks that it was, you have the class showcase or whatever. So I went through the class, I did the showcase and just wanted to keep going. I enjoyed it and wanted to keep going. Because before I was confident. I thought, okay, I'm sure I could write something that will eventually be funny, but the idea of going up on stage, that's just unfathomable. So the class was what eased me into it, because basically every class is just sort of a very supportive open mic. The teacher tells you, hey, write 10 jokes for next week. You get up, you do your 10 jokes in front of the class, and then next week, okay, hey, 10 more, and over the 6 weeks, you compile your 5 minutes. The class eased me into it, and then I did the first showcase, and then the very next night, I did sort of like an amateur night at another comedy show, Rossum Comedy, Susie Rossum. I'll another plug,
I love it.
Everybody here.
Yeah, of course.
But after that second one, then I just started hitting the open mics, and then I didn't get another laugh for 3 months. That would be my other advice. I remember when things kind of came back for good, there was like an influx of new people, because I think a lot of people were sitting around in the pandemic. Well, what do I want to do with my life?
Right, right.
Yeah, stand up. So we had a lot of new people who I haven't seen, in months. But I remember saying to one guy, kind of, because they can definitely be intimidating at first. Here you have like this group of comedians who all seem to know each other and they're all comfortable, and you kind of feel like the new kid at school or whatever, and that sort of thing. My advice for that, for anybody who feels like sort of out of place, like just keep showing up, because it'll do a few things. Number one, people start to get to know you, you'll get to know them, so you'll get a bit more comfortable. So it won't be as intimidating. Number two, they'll see that, hey, this person really is serious. Because like I said, there's you see so many people at open mics that you just see once or twice or three times and then never again. So if you just keep showing up, then they'll say, okay, hey, this person's taking it seriously. And they'll start to let their guard down around you a little bit. And then three, they'll get to know your sense of humor, because the better they know you and your sense of humor, the more likely you are to sort of get a laugh and that sort of thing. So, for people starting, at the end of the day, I think you agree, Joel, just one way or another, just suck it up and do it. And after that, just keep doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's overcoming that initial hurdle. Mm-hmm. And then it's consistency after that. But really, overcoming that initial hurdle will let you know whether or not you want to keep doing it. Like, so many people are like, should I or should I not? Or do I want to or do I not? You doing it once will answer the question of whether or not you want to keep doing it or not. So that's really the only way to actually know, is to get on that stage. Oh, and Dino said advice.
I remember during those first 3 months when I'm eating bag of dicks after bag of dicks.
I almost swore. I don't want to get... leave it together here.
That's basically how it was. Baggy. Hey Jordan, here you go. Here's the sign up list, and here's your bag of dicks to eat up on stage. And yes, thank you very much. Thank you. May I have another? And it's like, whoa, pace yourself.
Part of the process, my friend. Well, congrats on winning, dude. Where can people like follow you or reach out? You dropped some serious bars right there, I just want to say. So salute to you for not only like out there grinding, but also like learning and retaining what you're doing and applying it. It's not just out there blindly, but you're actually like working at this. And I love seeing that, and it's really showing. So where can people like follow you or like reach out to you with more questions? Where can we put your Jordan Wilson shine?
I'm part of the Hot Breath group. You can always message me on Facebook. My show has an Instagram account, at Speakeasy Standup Comedy. So you can always follow us there. My producing partner, told me when we started the show, you're going to need to join Instagram. I'm like, I'll get on that. And we're 8 months in or something like that. And I still have not. you know, but I really do need to get on that whole promoting myself thing,
I mean, dude, it's one thing at a time. You know what I mean? It's like, there's so many freaking things to do. It's like, you know, getting funny first is a great place to start.
That is sort of my thing is like, okay, I want to have a product worth promoting before I start promoting it. But at the same time, you know, if you get a following, then it leads to more spots. I mean, it leads to more stage time because there are people in the scene who are pretty new, but are getting spots because they're able to bring people to shows and that sort of thing. And when your family doesn't even know that you do stand up, it's kind of hard to bring people.
Well, I'm excited to kind of know you since the beginning of your journey and to really see how much you're doing already. It's very inspiring, and I hope other comics hear this and kind of get inspired to really start taking their game to the next level as well.
I mean, this group has been great. This contest has been great. I mean, it's probably affected in ways that I can't even think of that I don't even know. But yeah, I mean, the Write 10 Club every day, you know, just helps develop that joke writing, just that tight setup punch, joke writing. And then, yeah, like I said, this contest every month, like I get at least something out of this contest every month. A lot of my stuff that I do on stage now as part of my regular stuff is stuff that I initially wrote in here. So yeah, I mean, this has been great for me.
There you have it, Hop Brethren and Sister. And if you want to level up your comedy writing game, our writing masterclass teaches you not only joke writing fundamentals, but also how to organize a tight 5-minute set. So to join that, it is linked in the description of this episode, where yes, you also get automatically entered into next month's contest where you could win $100 and end up on the podcast. So go hit that link in the description of the video.
Hot Breath.
And we'll see you next month.
This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.